speaketh froward things. That's exactly what the people that you surround yourself with, and they will bring you down.
Yeah.
Just
what does that word mean?
That's someone who's very froward, and they're trying to convince you that their way is right, and they know, and they're happy, and just do this, and you'll find out. And I mean, it's just sickening. This week, I'll just generalize it. I did a wedding for a young couple, and one of them, the girl, left the husband, and just going off the deep end. But you know, it's not an excuse. But it always seems like these women who leave their husbands, professing Christian women who leave their husbands, there's always a friend. And women have been convinced in this country that you always have to have a friend. Well, let me tell you something. If you've got the kind of marriage you ought to have, your best friend should be your husband.
Amen.
And then any friend that comes along that begins to in any way pull you away from the Lord or your husband, you immediately tell them to take a hike.
Amen.
But see, Christians have been taught they're supposed to get along with everybody all the time. And if you offend somebody, it's you. That's a sin. And that's hogwash.
Amen.
You're not supposed to offend them needlessly.
Right.
You're not supposed to do things that are just stupid and cause people to be angry at you and that kind of thing. But if someone is trying to, it's like the hiss of the serpent telling you it's okay to eat of that fruit. When someone's doing that with you, you have to have the wisdom and the courage to say, I'm sorry, but this friendship isn't going to work out.
Amen.
And I'll tell you right now, through the years, there's been people that, you know, hey, let's get together. Hey, let's do this. And I'm just like, no, thank you, because I know what they're all about.
That's
and
right.
She's more important.
Amen.
And if it starts there, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I venture to say other aspects of that are simply people having an unrealistic view of what marriage is supposed to be and not trying to fix it.
And an unrealistic idea about what's on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know why that grass is greener?
More manure.
More manure. Kim, you've been listening. That's exactly right. A lot of people, as soon as they jump over the fence, you know what they hear? But some people jump over and it's solid for a little while, but the more they trek out into that green pasture. Amen, amen. Look at, I didn't finish reading 13 through 15. Read that with me. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Now that's wisdom, which the word is the source of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that kind of wisdom leads to discretion that'll keep you from following people like that. Now look at verse 20 and through 22 and read that with me. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Amen, amen, amen,
amen.
But back to Joel, you can't have the kind of apostasy we're talking about in Israel and we're seeing in America without apostate religion.
Yeah.
Joel 1:13, look at that. Read it with me. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. How, ye ministers of the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. You see, what he's saying there is that the priests need to gird themselves and lament. The ministers of the altar need to lie all night in sackcloth because they haven't been doing what they're supposed to do. And they've been doing a lot of things they're not supposed to do. And we'll get into that when we go to Ezekiel at some point. but you can read it on your own. But wicked nations are, this is a fact, every single time a nation falls, wicked nations are filled with fake ministers.
Amen.
It's a historical truth that you'll find. The more history you read, the more you'll find that.
Amen.
And you look at the what was behind the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, had a lot to do with the corrupt Orthodox Church in Russia. What was behind the Nazi takeover in Germany had a lot to do with the apostate Lutheran Church in Germany. What was behind Mussolini taking over Italy with fascism? The Roman Catholic Church.
Amen.
And they also had their hands on Hitler.
Yeah.
And on it goes. I can give you example after example that these wicked nations, they end up handed over to dictators and tyrants, and they're always in bed with a religious power, almost every time. I say almost because I haven't studied every time. The ones I've studied, every time. So the Lord responds with what? He calls them to repentance, and he gives them their fair warning. God always warns sinners before he pours it out. And every American has access to a King James Bible where they can go read their future.
Amen.
And there are still a few thousand of us preachers in this country preaching the truth.
Amen.
And if they want the truth, they know where they can find it.
That's right.
Look at Joel 1:14 now. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. This is literally a call for a mass gathering at the temple in Jerusalem. And God would have respected that if their heart was right in it, and they did it. But as far as I want to bring this out right here about us, there are a lot of people calling for Christians to do this kind of thing. You have the National Day of Prayer, and you have rallies that they had one not too long ago in Washington, D.C., I think in October or sometime.
Yeah.
But first of all, we don't have a temple. This building isn't a temple. No church building is a temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And where two or more are gathered in my name, you got a church. But and that's why I say we are the temple. So it's saying to gather into the house of the Lord your God, we can't do that. And we're not told to do that. This is not a call, and some people use this verse, you'll see it used, and this is not a call for American Christians to gather in Washington, D.C. And you want to do that, it's free country, but I'm just going to correct you when you pretend that this verse is telling us to do that, or that Christians should be doing that. Why? Joel 1:14 makes it clear who we're talking about in this context. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the what?
Land.
Now, in the Old Testament, there's only one place called the land.
Israel.
It's not the United States of America.
Amen.
So the context tells you that. This is Israel. So is there something wrong with calling Americans to such similar events? Don't answer. Don't answer yet. Is there something wrong with calling Americans to such similar events? You would think the answer is just clearly yes, but it's not. Yes, for the following reasons. This is why it's wrong. Every instance I've seen, it's wrong. Now, I've seen people have God and country rallies and that kind of thing, but it's usually just a handful of churches or whatever, and here's why. Here's the problem with issues, biblical issues with mass gatherings like the National Day of Prayer and all that. Number one, it's ecumenical.
Yeah. What's it mean?
Ecumenical means that you don't have any standards, everybody's welcome. Yeah, everybody got their own way, this and that. And a lot of these you'll see not only the Protestant and the Catholic, but you also see the Muslim and the Buddhist and the Hindu and whatever. Well, again, it's a free country, do what you want. We're talking about what the Bible says, okay? Now the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14 and numerous other places, be ye not unequally yoked together with what?
Unbelievers.
Now I'm sorry. We're not all children of God.
Amen.
The Bible says that those who believe on him become the sons of God.
Amen.
And we've gone through this in some of our studies. Some of you may not have heard it, but I showed you the scriptures. Those who are not saved are not the children of God. And if they reject the gospel, they're the children of the devil.
Amen.
That's in John 8:44 for one thing, but it's also in the book of Acts in more than one place. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? So if you take somebody who is a Bible-believing Christian and they go to these mass rallies, that person is in sin. They are rejecting this and many other scriptures that say you are not supposed to join hands with unbelievers. And so the guy gets up there and prays in Jesus' name, great. But then you got all these blasphemous other prayers and blasphemous other religions. That's why you've never seen me gather at one of those things. When they tell you one thing, and I'll call you one other thing. I did go to one back in the 90s. How many of you heard of the Christian Coalition?
Yeah.
Pat Robertson, I think, was head of it at the time. And I was told to stop telling Mormons and Catholics the gospel.
Wow.
Because I was sowing division. And I wasn't even being confrontational. We were just having a conversation. I was just saying, you know, according to the Bible, the gospel is this, and you're teaching that. So your gospel is not the biblical gospel. And I was basically told I had to shut up or leave, and so I left.
Amen.
Yeah, Jessica, do you have some questions?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know it then, but when my church where I was saved, we went to Billy Graham Crusade when he was here in Columbus.
Yeah, we have a 1-hour documentary on that, and I would... I discourage anyone from taking part in Billy Graham Crusade for this reason. He has men who reject the biblical gospel on the stage with him. And if you go forward at a Billy Graham Crusade and you say, well, I was raised in the United Methodist Church, they don't even look to see if the pastor there even believes the Bible. They just send you to that church. And can be a total liberal, a Bible rejector, doesn't even preach the gospel, but they'll send you there. They've sent Catholics, people who are raised Catholic, and then they say they got saved, but then Billy Graham sends them back to their Catholic church where they don't preach the biblical gospel.
Yeah. So was it wrong that I went?
Well, yeah.
Well, but...
I mean, yeah, we all did. I got involved in the one here in Columbus. You talking about the one where it's Cooper Stadium when it's still there? Yeah. Yeah. See, that's when I first found out about this. I was involved with the Billy Graham Crusade, and we were told, the first training session, we were told, if a Catholic comes forward, you don't try to get them to go to another church.
Huh.
Yeah. I'm like, see ya. And I was shocked. I was a young Christian at that time. I was very shocked. And then through the years, I've become more aware of Billy Graham's issues and everything. And again, I've always heard, it doesn't mean no one gets saved at the Billy Graham Crusades. But you know what? I could start kidnapping people and dangling off the top of what's the name of the big building downtown, the Rhodes Tower. You know, saved, repent. Oh, okay, I'll repent. Okay, praise the Lord. That doesn't mean it's right. The guy, you don't even know if he really meant it or not. Same thing sadly happens to some of these big crusades. People go forward because they're kind of star, you know, struck and everything. But
because I went.
Well, no, it was wrong. Well, wrong is wrong, but it doesn't mean you're going to go to hell for it or anything. It's just a lot of times we do things that are wrong, and then when we're told that it was, yeah, then when you find out it's wrong, what do? You say, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was wrong. I won't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's how we see this with God.
That's what I did as I'm leaving the Billy Graham training session. I think, Lord, I had no idea that was what going on in there. I'm sorry, I won't go back. That's all you do. God's not mad at you. I mean, unless you refuse to repent and you keep doing something you know is wrong.
Absolutely. Now see, that goes with something else. I know there are things that I know I do that aren't right.
I think everybody does.
And I say, I'm sorry, Lord, but I do them again.
You know what will happen? You got to stop or you're going to pay the consequences. It'll get you. And that's all I can tell you. I love you, and I tell you the truth. If I was committing a sin, I'd say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, and then next week I go back and do the same thing. And so his patience will, he's very long-suffering.
Amen.
He's very patient. But he'll let you just suffer the consequences eventually. And hey, folks, and that's what's wrong with the churches today. The reason all you go to these churches that you 20 years ago were stalwarts for the gospel and taking a stand, they're all just mush and useless. Why? Because they wouldn't listen when people called them to account for their compromise. And that's what's happened with Israel. We're studying here in Joel. It's exactly what happened. The prophets are saying, it's wrong. And everybody says, shut up. You're such a downer. We're having a good time over here. Look at our crowd. We've got all the people. And the money. Well, blow it out your ear. I don't want anything to do with it.
Amen.
I'm going to stick with the book. Glad to have some people with me. Amen?
Amen.
Don't you feel that way? You're going to stick with the book, but you're glad to have some people with you?
Yes.
What if we all walk out on you? That's supposed to be the attitude. Yeah, Doug?
I went to one of those, what do they call it, that Promise Keeper?
Mm-hmm.
That was another.
I did the, yeah.
That was another mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, but what did Doug and I do? We went, but then when we saw it was wrong, we're like, okay, Lord, I ain't doing that again. You know, that's all you do. So the second thing, I'm going to move, got to get moving here. The second thing is, the issue with mass gatherings is that they're Pharisaical. Whole lot of show going on. A whole lot of, it's, folks, we're not supposed to do that. You know, I call on fellas to pray out loud. There's nothing wrong with praying out loud, but when you're putting on a show,
yeah.
I mean, I've been in churches where they do, oh Lord, we thank thee for thy bounty, and we so declare that, you know, and all this stuff. That it's just a big show. And Matthew 6:5, Jesus said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the stadiums and in Washington, D.C., that they may be seen of men. Now it says they love to pray stand in the synagogues in the corner of the streets. And that's the same thing. That they may be seen of men. See? Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
Amen.
You know, a lot of these guys, when they pray, they're not actually praying. They're reading a speech.
That's true.
They're not even really praying. And the third is it's disingenuous. I was so disappointed in my early Christian walk to go to these big gatherings. And I'll tell you the truth. I mean, I just try to be transparent with you. You're going to think it's crazy. A couple of you heard this before. I went to one Christian contemporary concert that wasn't filled with hypocrites.
Yeah.
The others I went to, they'd be cussing, making out, and, you know, smoking pot, all kinds of things going on outside of the concert. The one that didn't, it was Huntington, West Virginia, Sandy Patty. I went to a Sandy Patty. I never have liked her music. But I had a friend who said, you ought to come, you'll enjoy it. I wanted some good Christian fellowship, so I went. You know what? Her concert was fabulous. I mean, some people say, oh, you could, you know, because she's kind of been in some issues. She's had some issues like a lot of other people. So, you know, we all have our issues. I try not to be too hard on people. But I'll tell you this, that was the only contemporary concert I went to where I felt like I was around Christians both in and outside of the building. And it was wonderful. There's about 15,000 people there. And they were singing, she got everybody, she said, I don't always do this with my concerts, but I just want to do this tonight. She started singing a cappella hymns. And when that place, 15,000 people singing How Great Thou Art, I thought the rapture's got to be about to happen. This is just, you know, I'm ready to go. But Jesus said this in Matthew 15:8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's what I experienced in those mass concerts. I've gone to churches, and I'm not going to name names, but I could name names of the big churches.
Yep.
Hundreds of people, a couple of them, 1,000, 1,500 people.
Yep.
Oh, they'd get up there and it's, oh, you know, and the rock band playing. And then you walk outside the building and you just figure it was just some rock concert.
Yep.
Well, the language and the way they acted and the carnality and all everything, it's just a... It's a sign of bad things. Now, we obviously do not oppose individuals or groups crying unto the Lord when it's done biblically.
Yeah.
And I've had people come to me with these things. I've had them come into the building right here and say, hey, we'd like for you to be a part of this or that. And then, like, I'm sorry. I just, you know, I mean, I look at it. I make sure it's what type of thing. And I tell them, I said, it could be, I'm just honest with you. I don't think this is biblical. You're being way too accurate. Well, you know, you got to have numbers. I mean, numbers is the thing. You got to have, and if you're going to have numbers, then you got to have, you know, no, you don't. Me and Jesus, that's the numbers I want. And anybody else who comes along, Jesus and me. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You should do that.
Amen.
If you have sinned, you should call, or as our text says, cry unto the Lord. And He will hear you and cleanse you. But that begins with belief in the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the scripture. And that's where the blood washes. What do you mean? Well, in the eyes of God, He will now look at you and see His Son, Jesus.
Amen.
That's the eternal standing you have. Now, you can then commit sin and hurt your relationship, daily walk with the Lord. That's what He's waiting for. All you do then is turn and confess that sin, and He will forgive you. And you can be restored. Then, if enough individuals get right with God, nations get right with God.
Amen.
Mass rallies, not the answer. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've watched it for 30 years as a Christian. The answer, if you read the history books, is when individuals get right with God and they turn around and start preaching the gospel and more individuals get right with God. And eventually, if enough people get right with God, you will see your nation change. No shortcuts, though. That's the only way. So we closed in verse 15, and we're going to come back to this next week. Read verse 15 with me. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. The day of the Lord is a period of judgment and wrath that results in His will being done. What's His will? His will is that those who will repent and believe the gospel will not perish.
Amen.
Those who will not repent, He will destroy.
Yep.
And that's just the bottom line. That's where it's going. That's where this whole thing's heading, folks. And that's how it's going to end. Reality check. Now, Judah would be taken captive, and God's will was accomplished. We're going to see that as we continue our study. That's where it's going to end. And we'll get into the day of the Lord in our next study. But to each of you here and watching online or wherever, you need to just deal with this fact. You can't fix your nation wherever it is you live. Katie down in Australia sent us a video where they're going to force the parents to send their kids to the schools. They're going to give them all barcode, and if they have COVID, they're going to take that child away from the parents and put it in isolation until they're over COVID.
Oh my Lord.
Wow.
That's when the government thinks they own your children, and that's where we're heading in America.
Yeah.
And if you go from nation to nation, you'll find a lot of nations already like that.
Yep.
And here in America, wherever you are, you can't fix your nation. God didn't call you to do that. God called you to preach the gospel to every creature. And then the thing about nations, that's up to the nation. God allows them to make their choices. But you can let God fix you. You can be Right now, you can choose to either be a part of the problem or not part of the problem. If you get saved and you live for the Lord the way you ought to, you will not be part of the problem. But if you reject Jesus Christ, or if you profess Jesus and live like the world or the devil, you're part of the problem. And that's really all it comes down to. This is song is about how God can fix you. It's not politics. It's not elections. You can't buy it. You can't do works for it. You go to Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and dear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is there.
Jesus is very near.
Verse 3.
Trust.